T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fourth and six. Gotta have it. Tight end matched up one-on-one. Give me the best tight ends you've seen here while you've been coaching.
Gronkowski, one.
Of course. Okay.
Yep. Aaron Hernandez, two.
Yep.
And I'm taking Fourier, three. I think Daniel Graham, Ben Watson have potential to be top flight players.
What if I told you the person that asked me to pose it that way was one Jermaine Wiggins?
Jermaine Wiggins was the best mutter that we had.
What?
If the field was sloppy, he was the best guy we had.
He's going to hate
so
this.
Anytime the field was sloppy, he was the go-to guy. He ran so slow, and his feet never left the ground. You never had to worry about him getting knocked off his feet.
So when he first said that, I thought we were going to have to bleep him out. And then I finally figured out what the hell he was talking about. Because you don't see a lot of mud on NFL fields any longer because we're all on turf, right?
Well, he's got a point.
He does.
Wiggy's kind of shuffles. He kind of shuffles, right? And the guys who are fast, who have long strides, they have a hard time slowing down because they just can't gather themselves and because they're too fast. Right?
But I think Charlie Weiss is a good guy to ask. I mean, they were debating it. So before the show started, Wiggy kind of cornered me. And he's like, yo, I got a good question to ask Charlie. But you got to phrase it fourth and six. Got to have it. Guarantee talks about Wiggy. He named like six guys before I even asked him about Wiggy, didn't he?
No, he did. Very, very underrated, though. Wiggy knew what he was doing. I remember watching Wiggy. I was like, because he's like, for a while there, he looked like a big meatball with arms and legs, right? Wow. He was so oddly shaped that you would not think that a guy like that could have such good short area quickness. Now, he wasn't fast, but he did so good at setting
good
people
hands.
Up. Well, he had really good hands, but he also, if you watch him, listen, if you have your liabilities, we all have them. So he made the best of his strength, and his strength was setting people up, knowing where to go, different angles, you know, shuffling out, and his short area separation was so good, and Brady was so good at identifying that it worked. But most other quarterbacks maybe, you know, couldn't quite figure it out, you know. But I don't know. The one thing real quick that I want to talk about with Brady that Charlie talked about, which I thought was interesting, and it was the same thing that people used to talk about Joe Montana, how Joe Montana would form relationships with everybody. There were no cliques. He was just as friendly with the defensive backs as he was with the running backs, the linebackers with the tight ends. He didn't sit there and segregate. He didn't play favors. He was a friend of everybody. And that was interesting to me because that's like true leadership. And that is like not everybody has a lot of these quarterbacks. Either they just stick with like the linemen and they don't ever hang out with the defensive players, or they hang out with the tight ends, you know, and they don't ever see anybody on the defense. The fact that they identified that, I think, is a good sign of how special he was going to be.
But he mentioned they did bring in Brock Heward in the offseason, paid him $1 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, if we loved them that much, like if we were so smart, you know, and we saw what nobody else could see, why did we bring in Brock Heward to be the backup quarterback?
Because you never
know. Insurance.
Yeah. You never know.
Because they're smart. Everybody, all rich people have insurance. Yeah. All of your business got good insurance.
So where's the insurance here? Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oof. That's it.
Yeah. And they look at him to manage games. And, you know, the expectations are probably a little bit lower. But if he ends up with Jarrett Stidham, if we end up with Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback when we get to September 1st, my guess is that Belichick is not going to leave a lot open for to fall apart, that he really believes in Jarrett Stidham. Now, Does it mean that 100% Jared Stidham is the guy? No, it doesn't. I think Charlie brought up an interesting point that even with Brady, they weren't really sure. Because until you throw him into the fire, how do you know? How do you really know?
Even when you throw him into the fire, okay, so they survived it once.
Can you do it next Sunday? Next Sunday, can you do it?
Can you do it three times on one drive?
Yeah.
Can you do it back-to-back drives because we're down 14 points? I mean, you have to have,
You don't know. You know, you look at Garoppolo, right? That first year we were here, that he was here in camp during the practices. It was just like, holy smokes. Remember those daily reports? This guy Garoppolo got in the game, and he was like 4 for 12.
He's held on to it too long. Remember terrible practice?
Oh, held on to the ball too long. A couple times they just blew the whistle to stop the play. He still hadn't got rid of the ball yet. Slow to this, slow to that. Then all of a sudden, his first preseason game, you're like, huh. You know, the lights, he actually got in a game, and he was just, he performed in a game, but in practice, he looked awful. So on the flip side, you could have a guy that looks great in practice. Then all of a sudden, the game comes around, and he just panics. He doesn't have it in him. And I mean, a lot of that is that internal clock is what makes great athletes great. You know, being able to slow everything down. And, you know, Brady is an example, obviously. And Garoppolo, you know, I mean, getting to a game, he looks like a different guy. Because he's able to do that. You could have a guy that's a great practice warrior, and all of a sudden he gets to the game, and he's awful. Can't do anything.
Yeah, because the game speeds by him, and he feels the pressure. He feels the heat. You're right. You never know how an individual is going to react in that situation. I think Christian hit on it a couple weeks ago, though. With Stidham, they're going to be far more conservative out there. Hate to use the word game manager, because every quarterback is really a game manager. That's what he does. But the system around him and what they do, they'll probably run a little bit more. They'll probably start working him up to a little bit more play action if that run is successful. But to do that, you're going to, I think, get some tight end somewhere. We still don't see a tight end in camp that anybody is looking at as a legitimate tight end, right? We keep on talking about tight ends. I almost think that Wiggy, Fourier, Bennett, Graham right now could be do a better job than what they have.
How about
camp.
That? The biggest need this team has is tight ends.
Haven't moved on one yet.
Haven't. I mean, what would, you know, if you made a bet and said, okay, free agency opens up, we're three, four weeks beyond free agency, the Patriots won't sign a tight end. What would the answer be?
Jeez.
I mean, what well, you're already no, seeing no the chance, rumors, right?
Did you see the rumors about the kid from Ashland University, the kid Adam Sheehan, who's been a complete disaster so far in the pros? He's playing for the Bears, and the Bears have already added now two tight ends. And so people are looking at it. He's the last year of his rookie contract. Is that a guy that Bill liked when he was coming out of college? And a lot of people liked him, but he was playing for Ashland University. I think he went in the second round, didn't he? And people liked him, but they weren't sure of the competition. Is he a possible guy that they – I don't know.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to be one of those guys, like a flyer. I mean, Eifert even signed somewhere else, for God's sakes.
Yep.
You just felt like they were going to finally solidify that position. Yeah. They're going to spend money on any position to be tight end, whether Tom was here or not. And then, you know, you want to go and trade for a guy that you maybe like that's not in the radar, or maybe draft a tight end in a draft that isn't, you know, is not really known for their tight ends this year. That was last year's draft. So you just thought that was going to be the approach, and here you are, and it's, you know, March, whatever, 30th, nothing.
Yeah, but they may look at it differently in that.
Drafting, we did it once, we can survive again?
No. Drafting 23rd in the draft, because you're right. Everybody says that this is not a really good year for tight ends. Wide receivers, they say it's great. Running backs, it's excellent.
Tackles.
Tackles, excellent, but not tight ends. But they may look at it and say, okay, because it isn't, teams are going to shy away. Last year, everybody was taking tight ends, and they were taking them early in the draft. Maybe at 23... we get a guy that we project, or in the maybe they pick up a second-round pick somewhere. We get a guy that really is at the top of that tight end class. Maybe they do that. I don't know. But I still think you're going to have to get somebody that is a veteran. I don't know about Sheehan, the guy I was just mentioning out with the Bears.
Or something like that.
Yeah, he's big. He's Gronk size. He's big. But he's been a bust out there, though. He's been a bust. And he's been hurt. I think he hurt his foot. He didn't play. I think he was on the injured reserve list second half of the season. Here's Chris in a car right here in EEI. Hi, Chris.
Hey, OMF, thank you so much for that interview driving home. I work at a hospital in Boston, and I just want to, you know, I'm not a doctor or nurse or I help the doctors and nurses.
Well good for you. You're doing something right now. Thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. Great interview. And I two things I took away was, one, I'm glad he mentioned Dick. Oh, my God, I'm going to get Mr. Ryburn, quarterback coach that passed away. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Because I remember Brady mentioning him. He was very helpful in his, career. Okay, that was one. Second was the breakup where, Charlie kind of broke it down, and I'm going to probably butcher it, but, how do you guys feel how Charlie, he just said, help me out. He just said that, it wasn't ego. I don't think it was ego, right?
Business for Bill. He said it's all business with Bill.
Yeah, that's what it was. Thanks. Thank you, Big O. It was all business, right, guys? So,
yeah, I think we know that, though. I think we know that. Sentimentality doesn't play into it.
I don't think a lot of people do. That's what bothered me a little bit, guys. A lot of people don't understand that. And I'm grateful to you guys, and thank you for the call. But those are the two things I appreciate him. I remember Brady really, the quarterback's coach. That was awesome.
All right, Chris, thank you. The business thing, when Charlie said that, that wasn't a surprise, because people are looking at the last 20 years, and you get suckered even more into it when you watch Super Bowl 51 yesterday in Fox and say, oh my God, this Brady is unfreaking believable to bring this team back from the dead. But none of that plays in to Bill Belichick going to the next season. When he keeps on saying the next season is totally different from the last season and the season before, they're all different. I mean, that's the way he treats it. Clearly as a business, sentimentality does not play into it. And certainly with fans and even with media, I think sentimentality is a big deal. It's a big issue.
Yeah. And with Charlie, and I said this to him, even when I was on a show, I'm like, I didn't think he would be one of those guys that couldn't see straight. Like, he would let the sentimentality cloud his judgment. And I feel like we were all doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Until finally I was like, this doesn't make nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's trying so hard to hide how they really feel. Something's up.
And well, because I think forever everybody just thought Tom was different. Tom would be different. You know what I mean? Like
they thought the Kraft influence, right?
Yeah, yeah. It would be different. And the play has slipped. And part of it was we go back and it's just like, okay, Brady's game will eventually start to slip. But they will build that team around him to the point where they won't rely on him. And you could say that last year, it looked like that's the type of team they were doing. Really, the last 2 years, if you ask me. And they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The problem with last year is because of the lack of tight end, and the offensive line getting decimated, you couldn't run the football. So running the football, playing defense, we all know that's what happened at the second half of that season 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. So the plan just sort of fell apart. There was no tight ends to block. But for the year before, you had Dwayne Allen and Gronk, two of the best blocking tight ends in football, to go along with a very healthy and a very solid offensive line. You lost all of that, so you couldn't run the ball. So they were moving away from him, it was a different team. And with the line decimated, can't run it, then they were screwed. And so Bill, like I said, I felt like he moved on from him the last couple of years. It was finally out of no longer under contract.
Maybe, but I still think if Brady had gone along with a one-year deal, it might have been less. Maybe it was considerably less than the $25 million he got with Tampa Bay. I think Bill would have brought him back. I think the difference would have been all bets would have been off as to when he would have been benched. If things were not going well, if that elbow was an issue, and they had to sit him down 2 days during the course of the week in practice, would Bill have played him that Sunday? And if I'm Brady, maybe I don't want that. That's why I thought all along, never thought they were going to throw big money at him or good money at him or more than a one-year deal. But I thought in the end, Brady would come back tail between the legs and do it. And obviously he said, screw it. I'm going to go somewhere else.
So it's five. Well, it's actually past five right now. So I feel like we always need our coronavirus update. It's like
do you have one for us?
I don't have one.
I've got one.
Oh, you do? Well, okay. Is it good or bad?
It's bad.
It's probably bad.
It's bad.
Hold on. Eventually, hold on. So wait, Lou, not yet. Eventually, it will be good. It'll be better.
So we gave you the numbers coming into today. At 4 o'clock, they update the numbers. So as of Prior to 4, this morning when we woke up, the latest report was 4,955 cases in Massachusetts and 48 deaths. Well, at 4 o'clock, they updated it, and there were a new 797 cases and 8 new deaths. So the total is 5,752, and it would bring a total of 58 deaths. So I understand there's some people that are like, you know, look how many people are in Massachusetts and look at these numbers. The problem is there's 800 new deaths or just shy of it, 797. Like, that's that trend, and, you know, the testing we all know is out there. We're testing more individuals. 43,000, according to today, individuals have been tested. It's about 4,000 more than the day prior. So out of 4,000 new tests, 797. You need these numbers to start going down. And I remember last Friday that number was big. Like, last Friday when we gave that update, I think it was 823 new cases. So over the weekend, you know, 698, you're saying we're going down. Well, no, we're right back to 797 here today.
Well, but we remember, so there was the sound over the weekend.
Not according to MassHealth.
There was a lot of, there was a, and Ryan, we got to grab, get all this stuff ready, because part of my, I hate saying joy, but, you know, you find joy in the oddest places in times of desperation.
Where are you finding it?
Uh-huh. I'm finding it with
at Best Buy. You've been over there like three times.
No, I don't know why I'm drawn to Best Buy, but I am. No, Brady, not Brady. I mean Trump. You get those two mixed up, but Trump is
confusing Brady and Trump.
I know, right? Isn't it
you
crazy?
Got issues, man.
The Trump sound, and there's a lot of them. Like, so the first one was when he talked about. Riding the coronavirus like he was a cowboy. He wanted to keep riding it out because his initial response was wrong, like everybody else. And here was him over the weekend.
I mean, we had a lot of people were saying maybe we shouldn't do anything. Just ride it. They say ride it like a cowboy. Just ride it. Ride that sucker right through. That's where the 2.2 million people come in. Would have died. Maybe, but it would have been 1.6 to 2.2, and that's not acceptable. But there were a lot of people that said, I thought about it. I said, maybe we should ride it through. You know, you always hear about the flu. I talk about it all the time. We had a bad flu season.
Ride it. They say ride it like a cowboy.
Wait, can you play that back again? Ride it. They said ride it like a cowboy?
Ride it like a cowboy.
I mean, we had a lot of people were saying, maybe we shouldn't do anything. Just ride it. They say ride it like a cowboy.
You think that came out of Fauci's mouth?
Ride it
at some point.
Yeah,
What should I say?
We're gonna ride this thing like a cowboy.
We have to ride it like a cowboy.
I'm not sure that's a medical term. I don't think so. Some of the stuff
like
he's saying.
Ride it like a cowboy.
Oh, he's been saying some crazy stuff. But you know, when you're going back to what you said about people at the beginning of this, nobody really understood what this was at the beginning. You know, Andrew Cuomo has been terrific. Bill de Blasio, a little bit shaky. But both of them early on were telling people to go back out there. The health commissioner of New York was telling people, go out of the town, it's fine. Nobody knew what this was right from the get-go. So you really can't, if you're going to start looking back at that, you're doing it simply because it's political. You either, hate one side or you love the other side, and you're going to sit there and side with them. They've all screwed up, all of them. Question is, what do we end up with? Where are we in the end of all of this stuff?
See, to me, it's not political for me at all. It's just something to distract me from the daily grind, which is living in my basement. Here's the other one. I just feel like we should enjoy this. Okay, so the next one, I want to play this one because Trump is so odd sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's just so awkward with the way he tells a story. It's like it is political for him, but he's always trying to protect somebody or add somebody to the story that doesn't belong. Here's him. I guess he's trying to be, compassionate. I mean, I don't know, or relate to what everybody is going through, because he talks about his buddy.
But this is different, and part of this is the unknown. And part of it also is the viciousness of it. I had a friend who went to a hospital the other day. He's a little older, and he's heavy. But he's a tough person. And he went to the hospital, and a day later, he's in a coma. I go, how's he doing? Sir, he's in a coma. He's unconscious. He's not doing well.
This is my problem. Every time I hear Trump speak, I think of the guy we had on the other day, Shale Coleman. Yeah. Sounds just like him.
You got a good guy.
Yeah, you know, most politicians come with stories like that. You know, I ran into a little girl, and she said to me, you know, what's my life going to be like in 15 years?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. You know, said that. And her, it was little Sarah. You know, I met her just outside of Salt Lake City, and she walked up to me and tugged on my sweater. Like, you know, they tell a story better than Donald. You know, I met this guy, tough guy, coma. Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny that at first I'm not laughing at the fact that this guy's in a coma. It's very sad. It's terrible.
It's how he goes
about
everything.
It's the way he delivers it. So the three keys that he wanted to add in there was the fact that the guy was old, he was heavy, but he was tough. And it's like heavy. He insulted you, and then he said, but he was tough. But he was tough. He was heavy, but oh boy, was he tough. It's like negative, positive.
Well, and his back and forth with the media. I mean, because the questions, he'll sit there for 2 hours in these press briefings, and, you know, they're hammering him one question after another. And it drives him crazy because he wants to be loved.
Paternity, and, you know, I've heard it before. So we'll look into it. We'll look into this.
That's the other guy.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Why can't he just be like that the whole time? It's perfect. Yeah, so you'll get your update, and then but it's not getting any better, right, Lou? Basically, is what your point was, right?
No, just saying the numbers. You know, whatever.
The numbers are going up.
797 new cases, and 8 new deaths. So,
well, I wish you wouldn't have given that number out. Kevin Paul DuPont probably wants to make sure the NBA and the NHL close down by 6 o'clock tonight.
I don't understand Kevin Paul DuPont's theory behind all this. So he wrote an article, actually it was Saturday, I believe, in the Globe, and headline is it's time for the NHL and the NBA to call it a season. He starts off, this is the first paragraph just annoys me. He says, enough, no more, shut it down. It's brutal enough to sit around like this, cooped up in fear, anxiety, frustration, utter boredom and anger, without the added unknowingness of whether our favorite winter sports team will find a way to remove themselves from suspended animation. Time to end it, he says. That's it. Like, to me, the guy, you know, you're right, Kevin. We're all sitting here, you know, cooped up in fear, frustration, boredom, anger. And what's really eating at you is this unknowingness of whether the Bruins will come back. Like, most people call that hope. Most people would sit there and say, you know, after dealing with all this stuff, I'm going to hold out hope that I can get sports back. He just wants to just shut it down and completely make the life of everybody miserable with no hope whatsoever. We all know what's going on. Like, you don't like hope? But you just want to shut it. You're miserable right now, so just the unknowingness of whether it's coming back or not is putting you over the edge? I don't understand that way of thinking.
See, I thought it was... more of him like, hey, listen, this is a serious topic. We should just shut it down now.
No.
Let's not act like we can get through this or, you know, and deal with it. Let's just shut it down and focus on, you know, COVID-19, ventilators, you know, quarantine, bunkered in.
But we are doing all
this. But here's the thing.
It's not like the administration is working on stuff with the NBA or the NHL. You know, Kevin just wants to feel good about himself.
Well,
that's
the thing is like, you know, it says, tell the NBA and NHL to fold the show. Print the final standing, slap the asterisks where they want on their shiny August trophies. Get on with it now. People are dying. And it's like, yeah, we know people are dying. We know people are being infected. So we can't possibly deal with the coronavirus with the thought of possibly hockey and NBA maybe coming back at some point in the summertime. Like, it's getting in our way. Just the thought of opening up the NBA and the NHL is getting in our way, apparently, of being able to deal with coronavirus.
Well, Lou,
line of thinking?
Well, if we're talking about July the 1st, July the 15th, then this might be a legitimate, timely column. I don't understand why it is now. It's not like the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball, anybody is getting in the way of what, you know, these people are trying to do to eradicate this. Here's the other issue I think you're going to get to, and I think Kevin Paul DuPont kind of leaks some of this out in the way that he writes this column. Until we get down to zero deaths, and you tell me how we're going to get to zero deaths. Until we get down to zero deaths, there are going to be critics of the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, whatever, that they're trying to start up and people are still dying. Because my guess is that people are going to be dying of this for some time. We're probably a year away from a vaccine, right? Maybe shorter than that if they can really push it quickly through the FDA. But it's a while now before we get a vaccine. So people are actually going to contract the COVID-19 and people are going to die.
Well, let me give you this update. I saw this on Twitter. Actually, CNN tweeted this out. Pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson plans to begin human clinical trials of its COVID-19 vaccine by September, with a goal of the first batches being made available for emergency use authorization by early next year, according to a company announcement. So, according to Johnson & Johnson, big pharmaceutical company, vaccine clinical trials in September, it may be early next year.
Okay. We have 331 million people. So if we get the first ones that come out early next year, when do you think we get anywhere close to 100% of our citizens have actually had the vaccine? It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time. And that's what I think.
Probably not to the following season, right?
That's right.
November, where you if this is a cyclical thing that can come back. I mean, you know, again, like I just don't think, you know, we sit here. I mean, Virginia just closed it down to what? What did I say? June 10th.
It
was June 20th, I believe.
Is it? Okay.
So, and I'll look, I'll double check, but at some point late June. I don't think it's bad to sit there and say May 4th, kids go back to school. You know, and then, you know, if we are in the middle of April and things aren't getting better and they're getting worse, to then go back and look at that timeline again and say, you know what? It's not May 4th. And now we start thinking about canceling the whole school year, you know, and then saying, okay, baseball or sports, maybe June 1st or July 1st. And then looking at it when we get closer to the date and saying, you know what, that's not going to work either. But to just come out and just cancel everything, you know, cancel a football season that's in September. Like, just can we and see what we look like in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and go from there?
Yeah, and my thing is, like, it just... There's no need to shut down and give up and like ever. Like, to me, there's not a I am open to any crazy radical idea you have. You want to, like you mentioned this earlier, Lou, about possibly starting the NHL season in late July or August, having the Stanley Cup, going through the playoffs, and then starting the season all over again, like having no break, just going from August right back into another season again, and then basically, I guess, catching up, because that's what you're going to be doing. You got to play catch up. So at least, it's health issues. Player safety. The players would co-sign it. The players would co-sign, and you could have an abbreviated season. Maybe you don't play as many games this year, but afterwards, you go back to normal. I just feel like all those ideas, even the NBA, even the NFL. The NFL could legitimately start the first day of training camp, could start August 1st. They could remove the first two preseason games. You play two preseason games. You only need two anyways. And then start the season, you know, or push it back a week. And there's so many different things you can do.
Getting back to Kevin Paul DuPont's piece, I don't think any of us are oblivious to the point that there's a possibility here that all of these seasons are going to be canceled. All of them. The NBA, right? All of them. We get that, including the NFL. But to do it on March the 30th, when we're not there yet, is it possible to at least broach the subject that maybe we might have to think of alternative ways of dealing without the NBA and the NHL? Yeah, but he wants to shut it down because he wants to feel good today. But again, they're not getting in the way of anything that is going on in hospitals or in the administration or in Congress right now with the stimulus plan. None of that is getting in the way. The NBA and the NHL are not getting in the way of what we need to do to take care of the people. That's why it made no sense to me today, other than Kevin wants to feel good today. Because we all agree, if for top priority, not the NBA, not the NHL. Get it. We understand it. All right, 617-779-7937.
You said his name was Brendan?
No, it's not. It's Barron. That's his name, Mr. President. We're doing this all week, Brady Week, and thanks again to the people at Samuel Adams. They have been great in helping out Restaurant Strong. You can help by going to restaurantstrong.org. That's Greg Hill's foundation, restaurantstrong.org, and you can help a lot of those people right now that are really stressed out because their place of employment has totally been shut down, and they have no income coming in. All right, we get back to your phone calls and more of OMF coming up next. So you guys have been critical of me at the fact that we're all in a Zoom session here, so we see each other, and I keep on using the sanitizer.
Yeah, and you haven't left your house in 2 weeks.
On a regular basis. Did you hear the woman during the break here basically tell us that we need to wash our hands incessantly? You have to keep on washing them over and over and over and over again.
In your own house? You're basically full quarantine. You do the show from your house. You don't leave your house.
But nobody is telling me how many times to do it. So I just keep on doing it because every time I look up on a TV screen or listen to one of our commercial breaks, somebody is telling me to make sure I do it. Tom Brady is telling everybody to do it. Have you heard this yet? Tom Brady is telling everybody, wash your hands.
Hi, guys. I hope we're all staying home and staying safe.
But
hopefully we're also staying active, too, because we got to give our body what it needs at this time to support a healthy immune system.
Okay.
And I got a few simple TB12 tips for you. The first is a positive mindset that we can overcome anything that we're faced with. And I know we're going to overcome this. We got to stay hydrated. We got to give our body what it needs in order to support itself with nutrient-dense vegetables. Mom, you'd be very proud of me for saying that. I know I wasn't great at that as a kid. We got to get some vitamin D. Get in the sun if you can. Try to get some extra vitamin C and zinc for great immune boosters. Dad, we got to skip the added sugars, especially at this time.
Really? This time?
Get some extra protein in you. And a couple more things. One, sleep. Get your rest and recovery. Get on a regular schedule. And then last, we got to stay active for at least 30 to 60 minutes a day. So that's how we're going to stay healthy. That's how we're going to stay safe. And I know we're going to get through this together.
Okay. It was nice that he did it. This is from a guy, by the way, that told us if we drink lots of water, we won't sunburn, right? And I heard there were some people on social media that were a little bit critical of Tom. So Tom's telling me to wash my hands a zillion times a day, and Drew Brees is giving $5 million to the cause.
But I get it, and I understand the whole nutritional side of it. But, you know, the longer we go, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the longer we go, it's like, what do you want for breakfast? My kid's like, Oreos. And I'm like, go ahead. Yeah.
It's a problem, I think.
That's so true. It's
The first week, it's like, nope, we're going to sit down. We're going to make French toast. We're going to have some pancakes, eggs. You know, we're going to, you know, there's going to be some fruit over here in the side. You know, by week, second, third week, it's just like, yeah, that's good. Whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, we just, now we're, I'm almost just putting the food in a pile. Get what you want. Dad, it's...
what do you set up, like a trough?
Yeah, I just said it like it's almost like I let him out of the room like the Tiger King, like when all the tigers come out to eat. And then, listen, the strong ones get the food first. The weak ones get the leftovers.
To feed the Gronkowskis, too.
That's the way it works. Whoever gets there first.
Yeah. Did you get to the point yet where they go to the Walmart and get all the leftover outdated food?
I saw a little piece of that. That was nasty.
Yeah, all
the fact that, like, so all the expired, and those guys from that Netflix show, it was just disgusting.
Yeah, the whole show was. Frank is in Medfield. He's next up here on OMF. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Frank. Good. How are you?
We're having a good time today.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When you were talking about your hands and washing them, I thought, like, yeah, I was just throwing Neutrogena on my hands before they fall off. But anyway, I want to get Kevin Paul DuPont.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll give you 50-50 on it. I think hockey is lost. I agree with him. You're not going to play hockey. It goes on too long anyway, you know, Stanley Cup in June, so on. Major NBA, you know, I've read numerous reports at times that they would love to take on Major League Baseball in the summertime as far as ratings-wise. And I think basketball in the summer would not be a bad idea. I think it would work for the NBA.
So why is NHL, the NBA okay, but the NHL is not? Why would you give up hope now?
It's not giving up hope as time goes on.
So you don't like the NHL. You don't like hockey. You like NBA, though.
Hockey's my favorite sport.
And you want it shut down now?
Not shut down.
You think it goes too long? You're not a hockey fan.
Oh, don't ever say that to me, Lou. I am an ultimate hockey fan.
Well, Frank,
fan.
I don't know too many hockey fans that think the NHL goes on too long and it goes on till June and they're upset about that. If you're a hockey fan, you want it to go on 12 months a year.
Because it's summertime. I remember once going with my father to a Red Sox opening game. I was a little kid. Red Sox opening game. And, you know, obviously an April afternoon. And that night, we went to see the championship.
Exactly. That's what I was waiting for. Frank, all I'll say is, and you might be right in this one. So the NBA, I think, looks at it more confidently that they can not only go up against MLB, but if they go in July and August, that maybe next year they take a couple months off, they start in December, maybe on Christmas Day, and that becomes their new schedule. Okay, but let me get to the NHL. The NHL may not survive this, mainly because it's going to be much more difficult to operate rinks and stuff like that in their buildings in hot weather, especially when you're talking about some of the places in the country where it might be 100 degrees out there or above. But why, getting back to Kevin Paul DuPont, why today? Why did we have to tell them to shut down today? Why is today the shutdown date?
Meanwhile, the very next day he tweeted out that, you know, as far as baseball goes, let's wait till Memorial Day and see where we are.
Why not wait till Memorial Day with the NHL?
Thank you.
It's the Glenn Ordway mood ring. It's Thank just you. Like Brady. It's the same thing with Brady. Depending on what you see on the 6 o'clock news will determine how you feel in the morning.
See, I think what Kevin Paul DuPont is doing is he's seeing the same thing we're all watching on TV, and it's devastating, and it's heart-wrenching, and, you know, maybe he even knows somebody who's been affected by the virus right now, has contracted the virus, and is dealing with something. But to throw all of that aside and suddenly say that means we need to shut down all of this other stuff, to me makes absolutely no sense.
Speaking of shutdown, I want to get your opinion on this, because you said it at the update. Do you guys think Chris Sale should have had Tommy John surgery?
Not a good look, Lou.
Yes, he should have. Why would he? Yes.
So there was three surgeries. Tyler Beede of the Giants. Now, he had surgery in Texas before the kind of like the shutdown started, right? With these surgeries. What do they call them? Elective surgeries?
Elective surgery.
Yes. Syndergaard actually just went to Florida and did it. And there was some criticism there.
Because the governor had banned elective surgeries.
Yeah. So now Sale kind of quietly, the Red Sox don't announce anything. We don't know where he had it.
I think that's the question.
When he had it.
California.
And the question is, should it be done? I was reading this article in Sports Illustrated. Christopher Scott is the chair of the medical ethics and health policy at Baylor College in Medicine. And he was talking about the social responsibility, you know, of it all. He said that's where it gets uncomfortable. He says, let's say a clinic that is performing Tommy John surgery using medical supplies that might be needed in a city hospital, then that's a responsibility to private clinics as well as clinics that are in hospitals and all the rest should be thinking about before they're saying, well, we're going to be doing these because financial health of the player is in jeopardy.
Mm.
So now let me give you the quote from Neil Alatrosh, who's out in L.A. Okay, now
that's where the surgery was
he's
done.
He's another guy who, what surgery?
Sales? The surgery on Sale was done in L.A.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe Alatrosh did it. So this was his quote. This was his quote earlier this week with the San Francisco Chronicle. I know that I'm going to get criticized for taking care of these kind of guys, but it's essential to their livelihoods. If you have somebody's career at stake and they lose two seasons instead of one, I would say that is not a non-essential or unimportant elective procedure.
Mm.
So it sounds like he is going ahead and still performing these surgeries.
But it's not right, because we're not taking into consideration the other people out there who do not have the financial backing that Chris Sale has, who right now do not have employment. They don't have money coming in. So I would say this. It depends, again, and that's why I think the Florida one with Syndergaard was wrong, in that they said no elective surgery. So what are they going by right now in California? In L.A., we can kind of check that out and see what the what Newsom and what California has dictated. But if they have no elective surgery in the hospitals in California, and Chris Sale was able to get to the front of the line and get elective surgery, then I think this is wrong.
Well, real quick,
I'm sorry, it's wrong.
So we mentioned Neil Alatrosh was the man that did it out in L.A. This was in Alex Spears' article where he announced that Sale had undergone Tommy John surgery. He says, among the doctors who have stopped performing Tommy John procedures in response to the pandemic is Dr. James Andrews. An Andrews Institute spokesperson said on Monday that the Institute has suspended elective procedures, including Tommy John. So Dr. Andrews is not doing them. So they went to Eletrosh out in L.A., who is doing them. So they flew him out to L.A. to have this procedure
when?
Done.
When was this? Because I think a timing of it is important. Was it last week? Was it yesterday? If it was 4 weeks ago, then, hell, I was in Jamaica 4 weeks ago.
Well, they announced, first off, they announced his, they announced it on March 19th that he would require it. That's when they announced it. So we don't know if he had it March 21st, March 22nd,
yeah, but
March
all 28th. All days within
at
this
some point
crisis.
In the last 8 days, 7 days, 6 days.
So you tell me, Lou, if the state has shut down elective surgery.
Apparently it was today, by the way.
It was today.
Today.
If the hospital... Well, if then, the hospitals, guys, have shut down elective surgery,
they do it?
Because they need every room in there for people who are dealing with this crisis, COVID-19, then I'm sorry, it's wrong.
Now, it was performed at the Curlin Job Institute in Los Angeles.
The Curlin and Job. Today. Oh, yeah, I've been Curlin there. I've had two surgeries.
I don't know. You tell me, is this a huge hospital or is this a little clinic?
No, it isn't, but I don't think it matters. I mean, because I would sit there and say, even like hair transplant places, you know, breast augmentations, all those, you know, places, like you mean hair salons?
Breast
implant. Well, I mean, that's where I went to. I'm sorry. Okay. That's the first thing I thought. I said liposuction, Glenn. I said liposuction.
Okay,
but all those incentives, it's all the same.
It's all elective surgery. Yeah. Okay.
They're not open. They're not, and they basically use my brother's in California. He's a podiatrist, and he can't do surgery. And a lot of his stuff that he does is elective surgery or something from an athlete, something from, you know, weekend warrior.
Nobody's
doing anything. So if it's done today, I'm actually, like, I'm almost a little surprised. You know, based on Chris Sale's attitude towards everything, because he's like the every guy.
Yep.
You know, hey, you're suffering, right. I'm suffering. I'm not gonna take. He's the guy that wouldn't take advantage of a situation. He wouldn't throw his name out there to get a deal on something. At least that's what I perceive him to be.
If the state has declared no elective surgery, okay, and the hospital is not doing elective surgery, and the only reason that he's able to do it is because now it affects his livelihood over the next couple of years, guys. That's a real stretch. I mean, and I require elective surgery on my shoulder right now. It's killing me. I'm in a lot of pain.
That's right.
But I understand I can't get it. They've told me I'm going to have to wait a few months and maybe longer than that. That's okay. I'm willing to do that. He's doing it because of his livelihood, and that's the quote you read, right, Lou? It's because of his livelihood.
That's why Eletrosh is doing it.
I'm sorry. It's wrong.
Yeah, but I question what strings did they pull? Who did they pay off?
First off, no, you have a doctor. You have a doctor in Neil Eletrosh, who works at that facility. You mentioned, was it Curlin Job? Is that what it is, Curlin?
Yeah, Curlin Job, yeah.
And
J-O-B-E.
You have a doctor that's sitting there saying, I'm doing it. And I'll be criticized for taking care of him, but he doesn't view it as non-essential or unimportant. So he's looking at Tommy John. You know, we're not talking about a guy that, you know, needs to get his knee scoped, you know, or loose bodies out of an elbow. I guess it's Tommy John. It's going to take probably 16 months, 18 months to recover. And he's like, I'll do it right now. So do I criticize him for doing it? No.
Why no, not? You don't. You
and I know it's not popular, and I apologize, but I'm just saying because I feel like if Job wants to do it in his, I'm sure he's not bringing in the normal cast of characters that he would in his room. Maybe it's him and one other person, and he's saying, I'm going to get this thing done, and then he can rehab for the next year and a half.
Boy, I'm looking it up right now, guys, and I'm trying to find California, but there are hospitals are simply not doing elective surgery. They've been canceled everywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I feel like it's just.
I'm looking at states right now. Everywhere. Cancel.
It just seems out of character. A little bit out of character is all. That's it. Nothing crazy. I mean, it just feels like. I mean, because I know, like.
Plus, he's traveling to do it as well, right?
Well, and plus, yeah, right. I mean, but private jet, whatever. But when you have those situations, you just want that thing done. Because remember, so not only does he have to get the surgery, he's going to need rehab. Right, I mean, all the rehab facilities are shut down. Like, every place is shut down. You can't get rehab. You can't – nothing. So, how does that work? I guess somebody just comes to your house. I have no idea.
Here's the other one. The other reason that they're postponing all elective surgeries is because they're fearful that people that come in for those surgeries may pick up COVID-19.
Yeah, it just seems real silly.
Because there's so much of it right now within the healthcare community. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, you still feel good about that, right? I don't feel good about it. I think it was a bad look.
Yeah, I do too.
The fact that you did it, today? I mean, yesterday?
Did you say today, Lou?
Today.
Today. Got it done today.
It's not a good look with everything that's going on.
We're almost at the peak, right?
Yeah, and so they're looking at it. The Red Sox are looking at it. He's looking at it. And the doctor's looking at it, the surgeon. And they're sitting there saying, the longer we postpone this, the longer it's going to take him to get back to be able to work his craft, to be able to. But he's still being paid during all of this. It's not like he's losing any livelihood. There are a lot of other people that have a legitimate case right now because of what we're dealing with the coronavirus that they don't have employment. He will have employment. He will have health insurance. All of that stuff remains. It's just that it's going to take longer for him maybe to come back and pitch for the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Just a bad look. Really is.
Yeah, it's a bad look. Are you glad he did it or no?
No, I think I think he should have waited.
September?
Well, I don't know when he should wait. Like Kevin Paul DuPont, I think I would have waited out this thing to see how it plays out. Maybe a month from now, 2 months from now, we're looking at it much differently, and there are hospitals that are actually doing elective surgery. Again, I don't know. This hospital may be doing elective surgeries, and maybe, you know, California hasn't been hit by this. New York has. Massachusetts has, I can tell you that.
I don't think you should do any cosmetic surgeries. You know, I don't think anybody needs...
Like nose job and stuff like that?
Whatever, anything. You know,
boob job?
You name it. Whatever. Lipo.
Hey, you thought of it also.
Any of that stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This to me, I don't know, it's a little bit different. If you got a doctor out there, an Elatrosh, that's willing to do it, I think if Elatrosh is a baseball player. Well, I'm just saying, if Elatrosh is sitting there saying, hey, yeah, I'll do your surgery, did Chris Hale sit there and say, nope, it's not a good idea? If you were him and the doctor said, I'll do it for you, would you sit there and say, no, I don't want to do it?
Well, again, the one thing we don't know yet is, and I'm trying to find it and I can't, California, have they banned elective surgeries? And now maybe they're going to that specific clinic or hospital because they're one place that is doing elective surgeries. So if that's the case, Lou, and they found a place that was willing to do it, and there's not a mandate in the state of California or in LA to not do elective surgery, then maybe that's the way he skirts around the issue. And he sits there, and that's his out. He sits there and says, hey, listen, I didn't do it at Mass General. I didn't do it, you know, in New York. I didn't even do it in Alabama because, you know, Andrews is not doing it because the hospital that he does the surgery in right now is banned it. Maybe he found a place where he can actually do it. You got the little backdoor.
Tyler, what do you got?
Go on. I'm reading that right now. As of March 30th, 24 states have banned elective surgeries. Florida and Massachusetts are two of those, but California is not one.
So there you go. So they found a place. He found probably a clinic that he could do it. California as a state has not banned the elective surgery, and you work around it. Yeah. So. But it's a bad look. Wouldn't you say, Lou, it's not
I think it's a bad look, but if California's willing to do it and a doctor's willing to do it, I have a hard time being the athlete saying, you know what, no, let's wait till September.
Well, Syndergaard was a real bad look because Florida is one of those places where you can't do elective surgery. Correct, Tyler?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Yeah, Florida.
Florida is correct, as well as Alabama,
to LA,
where James
Andrews is California, where it's apparently still okay and a doctor that still wants
Maybe.
To do it.
Maybe. He found a way of getting around it. That's what he did. All right, we got Last Call. It's coming up next.
Time now for Last Call. See you later. I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
Oh, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb. Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now. It's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Dun, 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 dun. Christian's new favorite song.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait for it. Would you wake up? Woke up this morning.
Sonic Show. God.
This is like
brain dead.
This is like right up there with Cheeseburger and Paradise and
no.
Oh, sure, sure it is. No. Yeah, I guess Florida Keys. I can see this song being sung on the Florida Keys.
We're the
somewhere.
Parrots. No parrots. I don't see any parrots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is please. This is the same music.
Yeah. Well,
what's the difference?
Joe Exotic's got plenty of free time right now to sing. He's going to be in the Sing Sing for 22 years, right? 22 years.
This is it. I'm telling you. This is this song is going to be. There's someone's going to cover this song and make a lot of money. Actually, make him a lot of money. I don't know if he can.
I tell you
have
what,
it,
people have
he's already
this
made
whole...
this thing up. This is a lip sync. Other guys sing it.
wait, what?
Yeah,
somebody else is singing. I thought he was actually singing.
No, I don't think it is.
No, he's singing. Yeah. No, it's him singing.
No, it's him. It's not him singing.
Who is
this? Is not him singing right now?
No, this is Vince Johnson and Danny Quinn, a pair of musicians from Washington. They, Joe Exotic put out an ad to find musicians who could sing, since he couldn't, and he found these guys in Washington.
You guys are joyless.
As I said, the guy's a total fraud. Joe Exotic, total fraud. Last call brought to you by Cars for Kids. Help a child donate a car by calling 877-CARS-4-KIDS. We're going to start with David Pasternak. So he's asked the question of all of his teammates, enough of the music, of all of his teammates, who would you want to be quarantined with, Pasta?
I would definitely want to be quarantined with Tuca. First of all, he loves chicken wings, so do I. He has sauna at home, so we could sweat it out every single day after workout. And his farts are pretty bad, but I think I could overcome it. No, I would definitely not skate through his crease any more than once at the practice.
Did he say that the farts are pretty bad and that's like a positive? He made it sound like it was a positive in the experience, right?
And his farts are pretty bad, but I think I could overcome it.
Well, Christian misses me so much, he was tearing up his room, apparently.
Oh, my God. I wrecked this basement. Nobody, it's now I know why nobody comes down here.
That's why you might
have
moved you down to the basement.
I'd say it might be you. I'm pretty much gas-free without you guys here.
No, it was you, Lou.
I think it's your diet. No, it was you. Definitely you.
It was you. I mean, so beer doesn't make you fart? Because that's pretty much been my diet.
That does make you fart. That with chicken wings? Yes.
You're pollutant.
So Friday we had J.L. Coven on the program with us. And he's a comedian. He's a Trump impersonator.
He gets injured and he says, crucify me. I can take it.
And he got a lot of heat because we're dealing with a serious subject. And he's making light of it by going out there and doing impersonations of Trump. So he had to get serious as Trump.
Suggestion of a fan, today's video is just going to be Trump saying all helpful things. So in case you have a relative who thinks everything he says is gospel truth, play it in the next room so they overhear it and go, did Trump really say that? Wow, I guess I will listen to him. So this is the helpful version of Trump that you can, I guess, fool relatives into doing the right thing with. So here goes. We're talking to our great MAGA people. Obviously, I'm the president of everybody, so I've got to talk to everybody. And we love it. We love most people. But I want not only the Dems, but I want the Republicans, the red, the great red MAGA people,
it's so funny,
to do the right thing here. And I know I've been talking very tough because it's politics, okay? It's very political. There's, you know, you have different things in politics. It's one side says this, the other side says this, and then they argue and it's political, but this is above politics. This is like disease and sickness and things. We've got to be above politics. So I want everybody to listen to Dr. Fauci. We used to say his name was Dr. Fauci, and I said Fauci like Fauci Bartokomus from Perfect Strangers. Remember that great 80s show? Great 80s show. Love the 80s. But it's Fauci. They say Fauci, and he's the expert. He's the world expert at this. So I'm going to follow his lead, and he says social distance. We're not going to be ready by Easter, okay? Easter's too soon, okay? Sorry, Easter Bunny. You're going to have to come back in, like, May. We'll call you, you know, maybe then, and you can bring the eggs and the chocolate, and we'll do that then.
Jeez.
But we need everybody to social distance and to be patient because we got to flatten the curve. They call it flatten the curve. Our hospitals are very overrun right now, and it's going to get worse in other places, so the experts, I mean, I'm an expert, but Fauci's even like more of an expert. We got to listen to him, okay? No more politics, okay? I love politics, but no more politics.
Serious PSA, you still laugh your ass off at, right?
He's good, man. Sounds just like him.
He does.
But yeah, obviously, you know, he jokes around. He takes probably a lot of heat. Oh, you sound so much like him. You got to be more serious, I guess. Yeah. But it's still a comedy. It's like Caliendo, right?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Great pleasure for you.
Mutt's in the house. What do you got, Mutt?
Hi, boys. Brady week. We will get to Tom Brady's best game of all time here in the first hour of the show. We're giving away a Tom Brady autographed jersey in like 25 minutes. So we're going to start the week with that. And Andy Hart will join us later on. I hit my rock bottom.
What happened?
We'll explain it in the first segment of the show, Glenn. I'm not going to give it away now. But I hit my
Patriots jersey or Tampa Bay jersey?
I think it's an autographed Patriots Tom Brady jersey we're giving away as part of Brady week. I think so. I don't think it's a Bucks jersey.
Saying, you never know.
People will be buying those. You read the Tampa Bay Times this weekend. All these Patriot fans saying they're going to treat the Bucks games like Pats games.
Mm-hmm.
These legit fans. So we'll explain that, and we'll give away the jersey at 6:30 tonight on the show, Glenn. Let's go.
Brady week continues all week long with Mutt coming up at 6:30 tomorrow. We get the five biggest Brady haters.
Yeah.
And we'll have one of them on the air with us, and we'll see how high he figures in our list. Thanks again to... Jim Cook, Samuel Adams, all the people over there doing a great job. RestaurantStrong.org and help Greg and the entire station out and all the restaurant employees. RestaurantStrong.org.
One day at a time, boys.
Yes,
sir.
There
you go, boys. Catch you tomorrow. Goodbye. Right. Goodbye. Goodbye. Stay healthy.
Safe and warm, but the law wants to ban me. Can you tell me who's wrong?
I am absolutely done with this.